Hi there, and welcome to session 24 of What the Cluck, a podcast devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. I'm Matt from Frugal Chicken, and today is the day that I take your questions. A million thanks to everyone who submitted, but due to time limitations, I can only take about 4 questions. But if your question isn't answered today, rest assured I've taken note, and I'll try to answer them in next Tuesday's episode. Just as a reminder, if you would like to submit a question, you can shoot me an email at editor@thefrugalchicken.com or contact me over social media. You can find me on Facebook at thefrugalchicken.com/Facebook or thefrugalchicken.com/Twitter. So today we'll talk about what fruits chickens can eat, and we'll also talk about some other poisonous foods, how to train your dog to stop attacking your chickens, about whether Jersey Giants are a good dual-purpose breed, and whether beak trimming is a good idea. This will be a valuable episode, and by the end of it, I hope you'll feel a little more knowledgeable about our feathered friends. Just as a reminder, you can get this episode's show notes at thefrugalchicken.com/podcast24. That's podcast with the numbers 2 and 4. So stay with me. So first on our list of questions today is, are there any fruits that are not good for chickens? Luckily, most fruits are okay, but there are some that you should stay away from. So first on our list are avocados, and this would be the avocado flesh, pits, and skins. Now, these contain the toxin persin, which is a fungicidal toxin present in avocado, so it's a fungus. It's generally harmless to people, but when consumed by chickens in large quantities, it's actually pretty dangerous. Now, in chickens, it can cause an increased heart rate, tissue damage to their hearts, difficulty breathing. It can also affect their feathers, and a high dose can cause them to asphyxiate, and death is approximately 12 to 24 hours after eating it. That's if they do asphyxiate. Now, in the show notes, I'll include a link to the Merck Veterinary Manual, where you can read a little bit more about this. Now, next on our list are tomato leaves and eggplant leaves. Now, this doesn't include the tomatoes or the eggplants themselves. Those are generally okay for chickens to eat. It's the leaves of both of those plants. So tomatoes and eggplants are part of the nightshade family, and they both contain something called solanine, and this is poisonous both to people and chickens. It's a naturally occurring substance that can be fatal to your chickens, so avoid feeding tomato and eggplant leaves to your chickens as well as the immature fruit. Now, that's just to clarify, the ripened fruit itself, I've personally fed that to my chickens and I've not had a problem. It's the immature fruit along with the leaves of the plant and the vines. So now, just for your own reference, the solanine in the plant is part of its natural defense. So go ahead and feed your chickens ripe tomatoes, but just avoid giving them the leaves of those plants. So next on our list are apples. Now, to clarify, apples themselves are perfectly fine to feed your chickens. It's the seeds, and this also includes things like peach pits, apricot pits, cherries, plums, and pears, and those that sort of thing. Now, these seeds contain trace amounts of cyanide. So while it might not really hurt a person, for a chicken that's smaller, it might be enough cyanide that it might actually do them some harm. So now next on our list is rhubarb. And this contains something called oxalic acid, and this can inhibit calcium absorption, which then leads to bone issues, nutrient imbalance, and problems with eggshell quality. So the thing about rhubarb is that it's related to things like spinach, beet leaves, and Swiss chard. And so therefore, those vegetables also have large amounts of oxalic acid. So avoid feeding these items to your chickens in large amounts, or just avoid them altogether. Now, if your chicken gets a nibble here or there, it's probably not a big issue, but if they're ingesting large quantities, you'll need to watch for things like calcium issues. So there's always the question about whether you can feed citrus to your chickens, and there's varying opinions on this. So this would include things like oranges, grapefruit, lemon, limes, etc. Personally, I haven't seen any evidence that citrus is poisonous or bad to feed your chickens. And certainly, if anybody has a study they can point me to, I would love to read it, so just go ahead and email it to me. But the thing about citrus is that even when it's offered, my chickens turn their beaks up at it, which pretty much every animal on the property does, so I'm not really that concerned about it either way. Like anything, if you want to feed it, then just make sure you do it in moderation, and remember that table scraps should only comprise about 10% of their diet. Now, let's talk about a few more things that you shouldn't feed your chickens. Potatoes with green skin is something that you should avoid. These contain larger quantities of solanine, which we've already discussed in this podcast. White potatoes that have been cooked shouldn't cause an issue. I've personally fed these to my chickens, although I don't really feed them human food in large quantities. But the peels are what you should specifically avoid. Personally, I would avoid all potato peels, since it's really impossible for the average person to tell if there's enough solanine in it to do harm to your chickens. So also avoid feeding the vine and the leaves to your chicken. Now, some other things that you should avoid feeding your chickens are onions, things like chocolate, which no animal besides a human needs to eat anyways, and dried beans. Now, sprouted beans are fine for your chickens because the act of sprouting also kills off the poisonous toxins that would otherwise harm your chickens. So when it comes to beans, sprouted beans are fine because you are soaking them in water, which removes the toxins in it, but avoid giving them dry beans. So the next question on our list is, what's the best way to get a young dog to leave my chickens alone? Now, for the record, I'm not a dog trainer, and my advice is based solely on my experience. Our dog was really bad when it came to attacking our chickens, and we were never actually able to train him out of it. So my recommendation is to find a way to keep your dog and your chickens separate, and to keep the chickens in a predator-proof coop and run. With our dog, once he started killing chickens, it was like a light switch turned on, and he became a predator. He got the taste of blood, so to speak, and we just weren't able to train it out of him. Even if we tied him up, if a loose chicken came near him, it was just toast. So we began keeping the hens in a secure coop that he couldn't break into. Now, frequently I see a piece of advice online that I don't agree with, and that is to tie the chicken that your dog killed around its neck for a few days, and the point of this is to teach the dog a lesson not to do it again. There are people that swear by this, and although it might work for them, I don't recommend it. Personally, I think that this is unsanitary for you and your household, and it's also disrespectful to the chicken that died. Also, based on my experience in certain parts of the U.S., you might land yourself in some legal hot water. Some areas have strict laws regarding the treatment of dogs, and really, I just recommend staying away from this idea completely. When in doubt, just keep your hens and your dog separate if you don't feel like you can trust your dog around your chickens. If you don't have the option of keeping them separate for whatever reason, then my advice is to find a dog trainer in your area that can help you out with that problem. So the next question on our list is whether the New Jersey Giant breed is a good dual-purpose breed, and the short answer here is yes. Jersey Giants are good layers of brown eggs, and they get very large for a chicken, so males tend to get to be about 13 pounds, while females get to be around 10 pounds. So for a homesteader, this is a very good breed to have, and personally, I might just get some males for myself as meat birds this year. So if you've never heard of Jersey Giants, these are a large breed of chickens with black feathers. They were developed in New Jersey during the 19th century as a replacement for turkeys, which, as you probably know, can grow to be very large and can be unwieldy to butcher an animal like that. So because they grew to be fairly large for a chicken, Jersey Giants seemed to be like a good substitute. This is also a good breed for you to breed sustainably. Currently, Jersey Giants are listed as potentially endangered by the Livestock Conservancy. The breed is on their watch list. So you'll be doing the breed as well as yourself a solid by raising them. One thing to bear in mind is that they do eat more than other chickens, and in my experience, it pays to feed your birds well, since the quality of both their eggs and their meat, as well as their size, if you're interested in raising animals for their meat, for example, this is dictated by the quality of their diet. Now, I've seen meat heritage breed chickens that were allowed to forage for the majority of their diet, and they turned out small and not really worth butchering. So that is something to keep in mind if you're thinking about Jersey Giants. The hens are good layers in winter, and the breed itself is known for being cold, hardy, and docile, which is always a good thing. So my answer is yes, if you want a good dual-purpose breed, then go with Jersey Giants. So our next question is whether beak trimming hurts chickens and whether it's necessary. So the short answer here is that unless you're planning to keep a lot of chickens in a small space, then beak trimming is not only unnecessary, but it's also cruel. And the bottom line is that you should not have a situation where you need to keep a lot of chickens in a small space. Either downsize your flock or get a bigger area for them to live in. Your chickens should have 4 square feet of space per bird if they're allowed to free range or if they have a large run. But if they're not allowed to free range, then you're going to have to provide them 10 square feet of space per chicken. So when the beak is trimmed, what happens is the tip of the beak is sliced off and then allowed to heal. The result is a shorter beak with a dull end that can't be used to hurt other birds. This is something that they do in factory farming, where they're cramming large quantities of birds in a small space, and they need to take the extra measure of clipping off the beak because the birds get stressed by their environment, and they start developing negative behaviors like feather picking and beating each other up. It really has no place in the backyard flock, nor in the egg industry, really. I personally believe that this is a cruel practice that robs the bird of the beak they've developed through evolution. So it clearly has a purpose because it's an evolutionary asset. Birds with clipped beaks can't forage very well because the end of their beaks are too blunt to effectively dig up food. When it comes to eating a daily ration that you might provide them, you'll need to offer food in deep dishes to make sure that they can actually eat the food you're providing for them. Because of the blunt beak, they're going to have a more difficult time grasping the food. Similarly, chickens with trimmed beaks also have a harder time drinking water. Now, another thing about trimmed beaks that might not be immediately obvious is that the chickens can't clean themselves as well with it. Now, the tip of the beak helps them grab things like mites and lice from their feathers. Without the tip of their beak, they can't grasp those bugs as well and clean themselves as effectively. They also can't defend themselves very well against predators. And it's not that the beak is really going to help them if they're caught by a dog, for example, but that's all that they got pretty much besides running to defend themselves. And at the end of the day, it's better than nothing. So beak trimming, in my book, is a big no-no, and I would advise you to completely avoid it altogether. So that's it for this week's podcast, and I hope you've enjoyed learning about fruits that chickens can eat, Jersey Giants, how to deal with chickens and aggressive dogs, and beak trimming. Now, if you're new to chickens, or maybe you're an old hand and want to do something fun, I have a 15-day boot camp coming up that's called the Healthy Coop Boot Camp. You can sign up at healthycoopbootcamp.com, and each day you'll get an email with a video chock full of information that you need to know to raise happy, healthy chickens. If you're not sure what to do with chicks when you get them home, or when to switch feeds, or if you're interested in raising chickens naturally with things like herbs, then my boot camp is for you. My Healthy Coop Boot Camp is completely free, and it starts February 19th. Thanks for listening to this episode of What the Cluck, and I'll see you next time.